prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have our first interview today. We're going to have my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini, on. We're going to talk about gene doping. Is it ethical and is it safe? And actually, Dr. J was recently interviewed for a TV show in Tehran. Pretty impressive stuff. The guy is worldwide. So we're going to get into that in a second. And then after that, we're going to be joined by Joel Green, a genius when it comes to nutrition, and owner of Veep. We're going to talk about a winter fix, 10 foods and supplements that really do boost metabolism and burn fat. And this is not going to pay homage to some bogus supplements, I can promise you that. Before we get started, as always, I have to say that Superhuman Radio is made possible through a generous sponsorship from All American Pharmaceutical and EFX Sports. Go to superhumanradio.com and click any one of the many banner ads to learn more about their wonderful supplement line. And without further delay,
this is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
Dr. J, worldwide. You're like Pitbull now, the rapper Pitbull. You're worldwide, man.
Dude. It's been crazy. I did, right before Christmas, I did an interview on a Russian TV network about cholesterol, basically ingesting cholesterol, and then I got a call from this TV network in Tehran that wanted to talk about gene doping. So it's been pretty fun, man.
You know what's really interesting? I'm going to really go back 20 years now, okay? When I first started training and thinking about supplementation, there was a product out there that was an isoflavone that they discovered that if you fed it to cattle, they put on more muscle, given the same caloric intake, blah, 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 and they figured it would work for humans, but it didn't. And one company got pretty smart. They took the isoflavones and they put it in pure USP cholesterol. And so with every dose, you were getting like 600 times the daily amount of cholesterol you needed. And people were putting on muscle. Their hormones were balancing out. And they thought it was the isoflavone. I said, no, it's the cholesterol. So, yeah, interesting. Interesting. So today's discussion is really quite timely and exciting. And I say it's exciting because I have a strange feeling that it's already happening. Well, think about it. We have billions of dollars going into what could be called gene doping to fight cancer, right?
Right.
And so, of course, people are going, wait a minute. If we can genetically modify someone to be resistant to cancer, could we genetically modify them to have less myostatin? Yes. Or how about to do something different with the muscle tissue entirely? Yes. And It's been around for a while now, but all of a sudden it's coming to the forefront, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, the interesting thing is all this stuff is being developed overseas. You know, we pick up on it here in the USA, and then that's when we start to get publicity. But, you know, you go back and you look at blood doping. That was really manipulating the genetic profile, and they were doing it in Europe for 30, 40 years. I mean, you know, it didn't come to fruition until, you know, some of those Olympic guys got caught. I think Lance was one of them because he spoke openly about it. But, you know, it's something that is going on. I know it is. And, yeah, there's research being, you know, done, like you said, in the medical profession. You know, can it help to, you know, cure cancer? Can it, you know, heal birth defects and ailments?
Yeah.
You know, hey, that's great. But, you know, the interesting thing about this topic that I really wanted to talk about, and the other night I saw a video that was probably from maybe 6-7 years ago, and it was a round table. There were a bunch of bodybuilders. There was Flex Wheeler was on there. I think Sean Ray, Kevin Laverne, and Mike Matarazzo, I can't even think of his
name. Yeah, Matarazzo. Mike Matarazzo.
And the question came up in this roundtable, and I have done these, so, you know, basically you have a panel sitting up at the front, you got people that pay to come in and ask you questions. And the question came up with something about, well, why do you guys use sports-enhancing drugs? And they directed it to Mike, and he kind of paused, and he said, you know what? These roundtables you're paying, it's about us being honest. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, and he went on to say, yeah, we do use them. And he, his disclaimer was, don't do it if you aren't going to make money from your sport, or,
right.
You know, don't just do it and think it's going to work because it doesn't. But I was listening to all these guys, and I'm thinking, it's against the rules. You know?
Yeah.
That isn't even
a consideration anymore, is it?
It doesn't matter whether it's safe. You know, when you look at race car driving, you know, NASCAR is the biggest watch and probably the biggest money sport out there, and I think it has been for several years. You know, they got different divisions. You know, if you are a top fuel dragster, you race in top fuel. If you're modified, you race here. If you're stock, you race here. And people don't try to run a top fuel dragster in a stock. I mean, you know, they come in, they check the cars, they know what they're looking for. And I was thinking about that because I always, not that I'm a car person, but I always like to relate things to cars. And I go, they got rules. If you are trying to do something that's illegal, you're going to get banned, you're going to get fired, you're going to get flogged. I mean, you're out the league.
Right.
Why does the rest of the sports don't care? You know, they claim that it's illegal and they're doing something about it, but they daggone know that people aren't going to support it if they aren't performing. I mean, let's face it. Football and basketball is entertainment. It's not a sport. It's like wrestling. You know, I saw a video the other night. I don't know if it was true or not, but they said the NFL is fixed. You know, it's just like wrestling. You know, they call plays.
I saw that. That was a parody, but the reality is that there is some underlying truth to that. That's what makes it so funny.
It is. And, you know, so to me, it's like, you got rules, why don't you stick with the rules? You know, I mean, how can you be an athlete and ethically...
But think about this. We are a country built upon breaking the rules, right?
I guess so.
We came here as an outpost of England, and we were like, nah, we're not doing that. We're going to take over. We're going to be our own country now. So we honor breaking the rules. No. This is really an interesting discussion that you raise, and it's very relative to everything in this country today that you raise here. No one ever said Robin Hood was bad. They said he was good because he stole from the rich and he gave to the poor.
Right.
No one ever said that our beginnings were bad because we broke the rules and fought against Mother England. So. We are selective on which rules we like to obey.
You know, I guess you're absolutely right. That's why we got so many criminals, because, you know, we choose what rules work for us. But, you know, as an athlete, Carl, my whole life, you remember that movie Cool Runnings?
Yes.
The Jamaican bobsled.
Yes, the Jamaican bobsled team, yeah.
And I remember hearing the original interview with that guy that cheated, and he got caught. Olympics got, I mean, you know, it was bad on the USA, was bad on the guy, got his medal stripped. How embarrassing, you know. And the guy came back and had to apologize. And like John Candy said in the movie, which was similar to, you know, what had happened in real life, was, I had to win. I just didn't think about what I was doing. I had to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, is that it today, or is it about the money? You know, back then, you know, when you're Olympics, there's no money. I mean, they did it to be number one. You know, okay, you got a gold medal, but, you know, when you compete, and I know when I competed in sports, it was about, I don't know, the ambition to be the best, to do the best you could do. You know, that was what drove you. It didn't matter if people liked you or people cheered for you. I blocked all that out. It was really a personal thing. But I don't know how some of these guys can sleep at night knowing that they cheated to get what they wanted, a trophy or a first place.
I think they justify it. We have a population of people who justify bad behavior by a variety of things. But they basically justify it and absolve themselves of any guilt. And here's proof of that. It happened in the interview you did.
Yeah.
The young girl was very outspoken about how bad gene doping was, and it was illegal and it was dangerous, and she would stop watching the sport if she found out that the people were gene doping. Then when they asked her, is there anything that you would gene dope for? She says, well, maybe to be more intelligent. I don't care about athletic performance, but intelligent. Oh, wait a minute. See what I mean? There's this moving line about what's legit and what's not in our population's mind. And quite frankly, that's never, ever, ever going to change. That's never going to change. So the people who have the highest standards will rise to the top. And that's what you have to hold on to.
Yeah. So I guess that's human nature then. You know, we will do whatever it takes at all costs.
Yes.
And we've talked about this before. You remember there's been a couple times now that some of these muscle magazines has interviewed bodybuilders. And I remember back when I was at Gold's Gym, they did an interview. I wasn't a part of it. But they interviewed 100 people at Gold's and said, if I could give you a pill, tomorrow you'd be Mr. Olympia, but you'd die 6 months later. Would you take that pill? And 100 out of 100 said, yeah. And I sat back and thought about that, and I thought, for what? I mean, for 6 months worth of fame? You know, it's such a shame, you know? And even you look at musicians, you know, and you sit back and go, it's a shame. Jimi Hendrix, you know, Michael Jackson, I mean, all these people who basically use some type of a drug, and I don't care whether it's gene doping or street drugs or steroids or overdosing on prescription drugs. You know, you're trying to do something that your body wasn't designed. You know, if nature wanted those things, it would take care of it itself. And the outcome is always the same. You know, definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. You messing with your genes. They're saying, the reports that I've read, they're saying right now it's killing more mice than it's saving. Is it working? Yeah, we're having some good progress. But we're having autism, we're having cancer, we're having strokes, we're having heart attacks. You know, so right now, we are not at a level where it's even safe to do this. Now, maybe overseas, maybe in Bulgaria, you know, because those guys have been way ahead of us, or the Germans, you know. But, you know, we don't hear about any of those athletes dying. We only know the Americans. I mean, look at the professional wrestling, you know, the whole WWE, whatever they are today. They've got the biggest fatality of athletes of anybody, but they also are the biggest abusers of drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
So what does that say?
And you know, one of the things that really wasn't discussed in the interview, but for some reason it was almost presumed, because you guys talked about ethics, and you talked about the possibility of them being unsafe, which is clear, but no one actually talked about whether or not it works. Because no one will come forth and admit I gene doped, so we don't even know if it works. And the reason I bring this out is because, if you remember, myostatin suppression was all the rage 10 years ago. 10 years ago, myostatin suppression was going to make bodybuilders 350 pounds and ripped at 1% body fat. It never happened. And myostatin, they have injectable agents that are supposed to reduce myostatin, and if those of you who pay attention, taking high doses of follistatin, regardless of where you get it, reduces myostatin. We still don't have any 300-350-pound ripped-to-shred bodybuilders that are a result of myostatin suppression. Now, we do have bodybuilders who were genetically born myostatin double null. Flex Wheeler, since you brought up his name, he was tested.
Yeah.
We know he's a myostatin null human being. But you have to be myostatin null from birth forward in order to create that muscle. The New York State University of New York at Rochester did some fantastic studies on myostatin suppression. And what they came back saying was this. If you're an already existing adult and you suppress myostatin, anything less than 90%, you see nothing. Once you get above 90%, you start to see changes, but they go away once the suppression goes away. So you're never going to be Flex Wheeler by suppressing myostatin when you're 20, 30, 40, or 50. So that's why we don't see any myostatin inhibition. Otherwise, Sei Jin Lee and all those guys over at MIT, I mean, they were working on myostatin. We don't see it in bodybuilding today. It didn't work.
No, and you know, I'm going to tell you a secret story that it happened to me, and also Pete Gronkowski. Pete Gronkowski,
yeah, he's
was
been on the show,
bodybuilder,
yeah,
and you know, was one of the owners of the Gold's Gym back in the '80s when it was actually the Mecca '70s, '80s. So I'll first tell you, Pete. Now this is sort of gene doping, but Pete told me in confidential. Now it's public because he's told more people. But he was working at one of the universities, I think it was USC, and they were trying to electronically modify the brain the way it would signal for you to produce growth hormone. A lot of growth hormone studies were going on back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. That was the big craze. Mm-hmm. They put a chip on his brain. He showed me where they cut his skull, and he was a guinea pig, and it ended up messing up his brain. I mean, you know, Pete is not the sharpest cookie anymore. And I really think it was because of that chip. He had to have it taken out because it caused all kind of complications. But I had another doctor was along that same line that approached me. They were working on as you know, growth hormone, they used to extract it from human cadavers.
Right.
But because of all of the side effects that happen, they found that they could grow a bacteria that produced the growth hormone, and that's where they now get growth hormone for the medical. Well, this doctor thought he had produced a bacteria that he could give me a pill, and that bacteria would live in my GI system, and it would stimulate that growth hormone, and it would basically mix with my growth hormone, and I would be a 400-pound ripped gorilla. Well, I wasn't the smartest cookie back then, but I was smart enough to ask him for the research. And when I saw that it killed 75% of his monkeys, I'm like, you're an idiot, dude. I ain't taking this thing.
Oh, my God.
But I thought about it.
Of course. But, you know, this is amazing, this discussion. And it just goes to show how far people, the level of risks that people are willing to take. Pete Gronkowski has been on my show twice. The first time he came on my show, he talked about the cycles he was running back in the day.
Yeah.
That he learned from the power lifters. You know, everybody thinks the bodybuilders started with all these drugs. It's not. It was the power lifters.
And, right.
I mean, he admitted on my show to doing 20 grams a week leading up to a competition. And that was plus, and then plus orals on top of that. And,
yeah.
And I mean, so I believe you that he was experimental because, and let's also pay him one bit of homage. Pete Gronkowski may quite possibly be the first bodybuilder ever to step on stage 270 pounds and ripped back in the day.
Yeah. And he, and you know, to his defense, he worked out hard.
Oh.
He knew how to train. He knew how to diet. So, you know, one of the things that this bodybuilding seminar that I was talking about, you know, they kept telling people, look, you know, don't think that you're going to get your genes modified, as we're talking about, or you're going to take some sports enhancement drug or this, and, you know, you're going to look like us. No, you're never going to look like us because you don't know how to train, you don't have the intensity, the discipline, and you aren't going to spend the money on the food that we do. You know, and again, that's what I always tell people because it's the same way. I remember back at Gold's Gym, 99% of the people in there were taking steroids, and only 1% even looked like it. The rest of them, they didn't even look like they worked out.
Isn't that something?
I would hear about these things and go, you got to be kidding me. And the biggest example was Dan Duchesne. Bless his soul because he's passed on. But that guy was the biggest druggie, and
he didn't even look like it.
No, he didn't have a stitch of muscle on him, and he was in the gym every day working out. But he didn't know how to train. He didn't know how to eat. And, you know, but his mind was all, he's kind of like Ozzy. His mind was just fried from too much drugs.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to get back on center here about the gene doping and also more about the interview that you did. We're talking with Dr. Jeff Galini about his recent interview on Tehran TV. Dr. J is worldwide. Move over, Pitbull. We'll be right back. Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains.
Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
If you followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes? The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to wildwestnutrition.com or click the banner ad at superhumanradio.net.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. I was going to ask the audience, who in the audience would try gene doping if it meant that they could become 270 pounds and ripped to shreds? But I don't even want to know. Because it's a sad testament to who you think you are and who you really are, if you're willing to do that. And I'd rather not know. So, Dr. J, getting back to the beneficial effects of it, the cancer industry has thrown literally billions and billions and billions of dollars behind a genetic answer to cancer. So can't we just take all these things we just said, not the ethics part, but can't we take the safety and the efficacy part and just overlay it on that discussion and go, what the heck are they thinking?
We can, you know, and the medical profession talks about, you know, gene, they call it gene therapy.
Right.
Where basically they are injecting DNA into the human body, hoping to restore some function related to a damaged or missing gene. Spending billions of dollars trying to see if this is going to work. But, you know, here's the funny thing, Carl, is every time the medical profession puts out that, hey, we are working on this, and I'm going to give you an example, it's like SARMs.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden they appear. Now people think they are taking SARMs. I wonder if people who are getting gene doping, what are they being sold? I know it's available out there, and we know that this is the same thing as blood doping, where, you know, what would happen is these endurance athletes would literally draw, you know, a pint or two of blood from their system. They would put these genes into that blood, and then after the drug testing, they would put that blood back into their body. I don't know if people knew that's what that whole blood doping
was. Yeah, see,
was.
I didn't know that's what it was. I always thought blood doping was they were taking the blood out, they were spinning it, and then they were putting just the red blood cells back in to increase red blood cells, which is kind of the same thing that EPO does, but without having to take a drug, because then there's no traces of EPO. That's what I always thought it was.
Well, it was, but I heard they also were, you know, again, messing with all these
adding other
DNA,
things to it, and that makes
more
sense.
More blood, you know. I mean, again, but even if you're spinning and you're trying to increase red blood cells, again, it's all the same. But you know, the World Anti-Doping Association has made this illegal. So why would they make it illegal if it didn't exist? So obviously, it must exist out there.
Yes, yes. So let's talk about something else. I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second.
Sure.
Babe Ruth hit balls with a wooden bat and had a crappy glove to catch with. Today, glove technology and bat technology is like supersonic, right? Back then, he was eating hot dogs. Today, we have specialized nutrition. We understand about supplementation. We understand about hot and cold bats. We understand about muscular manipulation. We have surgeries to reroute tendons and ligaments so that pitchers can pitch faster. We have radial keratotomy that made Tiger Woods' vision 2015. Where do we draw the line? Why is anabolic steroids? Why is it as soon as I stick a needle in my hip, I'm breaking the law? Why is it as soon as I take a step towards gene doping? Let's say it becomes effective and safe someday.
Right.
How come those things which elevated the sport and changed the sport are acceptable, but these things aren't?
You know, I think it comes down to the mighty dollar at the end of the day. If they can make money off of it, you know, again, get rid of the fact, you know, whether it's ethical, it's safe or legal, you know, you make a valid point, you know. But it really comes down to the sports organizations. Again, look at powerlifting. You know, they have raw and they have unraw, you know, where you can use whatever you want as far as knee wraps and wrist wraps. So, again, I think that'd be a question for the NFL. Why do you say steroids are illegal, yet you know everybody's doing it? I think because the general public views that as a bad thing. You know, they don't care whether, you know, Tiger Woods fixed his eyes. Oh, that's just eyes. You know, it's like getting glasses or, you know, he had cataract surgery or, you know, it isn't as sexy and it isn't as controversial as a drug because everybody wants to blame an athlete's performance. Oh, well, he's using steroids, or else I could do what he's doing.
Right.
No, you couldn't. So I think that's what it comes down to, Carl, is it's just a bad word. It doesn't sell. You know, nobody wants to think that their sports hero is cheating, taking drugs, you know, and I think that's why it's not legal. But, you know, look at Denver, you know, legalizing marijuana. So maybe, you know, maybe in the future they might just go, oh, well, if we can't beat them, join them. We'll just legalize it all and let it go.
It's just interesting. And there was one other great point made, and I think you made it in that interview, that if they do legalize it, then every athlete who steps into that sport is going to end up having to do it. And
yeah,
a lot of them don't have the money and the means. It's like when they change baseball bat technology, you weren't going to buy your kid an old-fashioned wooden bat. You're going to go out and buy him an aluminum bat or whatever the technology was, and that was more expensive. So if they legalize it, now all of a sudden there's a new burden to anyone entering that sport, right?
Yeah.
And now they have to come up with the money for gene doping.
But, you know, that is where sport is right now, and you alluded to that. I mean, most athletes can't afford to eat higher-quality food. They can't afford to take supplements that a professional athlete. So again, you know, sports have always been that way. Whoever has more money has more access. You can go hire a professional trainer, a dance instructor. I mean, you know, it's sports are not cheap. They are expensive. So I think that's what it's going to come down to. If it does legalize, the guys who have the money, who have the sponsorships, are the ones that are going to win all the trophies. And the other ones, they're going to buy it off the black market like they do now, and they're going to end up killing themselves because it isn't going to be the real deal, you know.
What do we have? Anything going on over at AAPEFX that we need to announce? Any upcoming events that we want to promote right now?
You know, we're 2 weeks into the EFX Sports Transformation Challenge, so we had over 350 people for the first time, which was really amazing. The target was 200 participants, and everybody is working hard. I just want to say, if anybody, you know, wants to follow along, you can follow the post. You can get information. You can follow the diets and supplement plans, even though you might not have registered, so you wouldn't be eligible for the $20,000 prizes or prize, but you can still, you know, meet your goals. So we got that going on. And other than that, Green Apple Carbolin will be coming out.
Oh,
dude. Next month.
Really? I love green apples.
It's delicious. Oh, my gosh. I've never been a green apple person, but this is now going to be my favorite new flavor. So,
hey, I tagged you in a photo on Facebook. Take a look at it. It's my progress picture.
Oh, right on, brother. I surely will, man.
Maybe I should join the competition that you're putting on there, the transformation competition.
Yeah, man.
There you go. All right, brother. It's always great to be on the air with you. Dr. Jeff is worldwide. He's like Pitbull now. I mean, I don't know anybody that's been on TV in Tehran. You're the first. You win the award. There you go.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. All right.
Take care. Talk to you later, brother. Bye. All right. So we're going to take one quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Joel Green to talk about 10 foods and supplements that legitimately boost metabolism and burn fat, especially in this winter months where people are just storing it. Stay tuned.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, You'll gain with it.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Ketocana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Ketocana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketocana banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Rick James. Welcome back. So I got a Facebook message from Brandon Murphy, January 15th, asking me about my opinion about a supplement that a gal that he knows bought that's supposed to boost metabolism. And he sent me a list of the ingredients, and the overpowering ingredient was caffeine. And I said, you know, raising heart rate is not the same thing as raising metabolism. They're very, very different, although the supplement industry seems to think that they're not. And I thought, I really need to do a show, a legitimate show, a real show, not a show that panders, about things that actually do boost the metabolism. There's only one guy that I know, the guy that I think is a genius when it comes to connecting the dots in nutrition, and that's Joel Green. How you doing, Joel?
I'm doing great, Carl, man. Good to be on the show. Thanks for having me, and thank you so much.
So the reality is, the reason I knew you were the guy to do this is because you built an entire website dedicated to food combining that offsets fat storage and increases fat utilization. The website is Veep, right? What is the URL to the website again?
Oh, it's just like the TV show. It's veep.com.
VEEP.com.
Yep.
Okay. And you and I have had like lengthy discussions when I've been out at Quest where we've, you know, sequestered ourselves into a conference room, and you started to show me the connections between certain nutritional components and everything from getting alcohol out of the system faster to increasing the fat utilization from meal to meal. And I thought, well, there's only one guy that I need to talk to about this. And I said, well, can you do 10? And you said, well, you know, I can do more, but we called it 10. And these are going to be foods and supplements. But the reality is that anybody who really wants to dig deep into this needs to go to veep.com and sign up for a membership and have access to this kind of stuff all the time. And you can do your entire meal planning based on burning fat. So before we move forward, I'm going to ask you a point-blank question. Is there such a thing as a food or a supplement that will increase fat utilization in the body?
Yeah, actually, there's a number of ways you can have that combo. And it just depends on, you know, what it is specifically that we're talking about. A lot of these things get confused, so it might be helpful kind of up front to parse out like these different concepts into what they really are. So, you know, there's the idea of resting metabolic rate and increasing that. And that's a different thing from what we call adaptive thermogenesis or getting getting the uncoupling proteins in brown fat and muscle to kick in, to essentially increase the energy expenditure, the amount of heat that's being released through the mitochondria. And that's different. And then that is itself part of a bigger conversation, which we would call brown fat, fat browning. And that's a big area of research right now. And then also in that, we can throw in what we would call energy harvest, which was just how much energy you get from food. And so all these things are things that we can look at touching on to basically get the end game, which is we want to, you know, we want to burn more energy and we want to do it in ways that save us time. So, yeah, it's definitely possible. I mean, the simplest, like dumb thing that we can look at is just, you know, and it's not even debatable, it's just simply protein.
Yeah.
Protein increases metabolism. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. We all get that, right? And so let's just start with that. So if we just take the idea that protein increases metabolism and we kind of get that, then is there anything we can do that would make that work a little better? And so, yeah, then you start to get into some areas where there's some things we can look at doing. So one thing would be dietary isothiocyanates, and these are sulfur compounds that you find in things like mustards or wasabi, things that mustards, wasabi, things like that, horseradish. So these are things that not only we could say boost metabolism, but they actually target brown fat. They actually work on the uncoupling protein.
Really?
And so just combining.
Now, does this have anything to do with Scoville units and how hot they are? Or is it simply this is another component that just happens to fall into these same types of foods?
So this isn't actually so much based on them being hot. This is based on more. This is based on more uncoupling. And just to kind of touch on that really quick. So when you hear this word thrown around a lot, you hear the word uncoupling when we talk about fat burning. And what we're talking about really is what's coupled. So what's coupled is oxygenation with ATP synthesis inside the mitochondria. So essentially breathing with making ATP. Those are coupled. And when we, quote-unquote, uncouple that, then in different tissues, you get different outcomes. So originally, there's basically three types of uncoupling proteins. There's what we find in what we call brown fat. And the easy way to understand that is just hibernators, you know, animals that need to go hibernate. And they make a lot of energy from uncoupling oxygen and production of ATP with brown fat. And so that's a big area of research right now, looking at, well, geez, that's pretty cool. How can we get our bodies?
I personally think it's a waste of time because we know how to build muscle. And the idea of making fat that burns calories and by going through all of these you know, ice baths and supplements and all this other stuff. And we know that brown fat is transient. It doesn't stay brown. It's like once you brown it, it doesn't stay brown. You have to keep doing things to keep it. Just build more muscle, my attitude is.
So, you know, again, that gets into an interesting area. So one of the areas that's bubbling up in the research as a way to get the uncoupling protein activated in muscle, which increases resting metabolic rate.
Now we're talking.
And now, so check this out. This gets really interesting. It's to deprive the body of leucine.
Wow, that's counterintuitive.
Yeah. So let's walk through that. So that's normally we think, well, gosh, to build muscle, I need to take a bunch of leucine, and that's gonna you know, increase my metabolic rate. But it turns out that depriving the body of leucine actually induces uncoupling protein 3, which is what we find in the muscle.
Okay, I got to move fast with you because you're brilliant, and I have to squeeze everything I can out of you in an hour. So how long do you have to deprive the body of leucine in order to see this uncoupling effect? Can it be achieved in simple intermittent fasting?
Anecdotally speaking and personally, yes, I believe that it can, and I think there's a way to supercharge it. I think that when we look at the fact that, okay, so leucine deprivation seems to activate uncoupling protein, meaning kicking up resting metabolic rate, not active thermogenesis, but resting metabolic rate in the muscle. So there's some other things that we can combine with that. So in a fasted state, we need long-chain fatty acids to really maximize these uncoupling proteins. So we need things like EPA. So it looks like quite possibly in a fasted state, the simple addition of omega-3s together with coffee in a fasted state might actually facilitate this in the muscle.
What if you don't drink coffee anymore? Is it the caffeine?
The caffeine is a natural AMPK activator. I remember last year we did
right.
a show on AMPK.
Right,
Yeah, and it's just a, there's lots of AMPK activators out there, but just a simple way to do that. The key seems to be the addition in a fasted state of long-chain fatty acids. So in order to get the activation of those proteins, the long-chain fatty acids, the omega-3s are kind of essential. So in that fasted state, if we throw in some omega-3s and something to activate AMPK, coffee is kind of the simple one, then we there's this sort of field of thought that maybe we get all that. Maybe we get leucine deprivation, we get increased resting metabolic rate in the muscle, and we get all these other goodies going on at the same time. So it's an area to tinker with, is what I would say.
Okay, so let's do some definitions real quick. So when we talk about increasing thermogenesis, what we're talking about is for the amount of work the body is doing, it's producing more heat because the work has a higher metabolic cost, if you will. When we talk about and that goes hand in hand with the uncoupling, when we talk about raising resting metabolic rate, we're talking about just purely putting our foot on the gas pedal harder. We're not saying it has any effect on thermogenesis. We're just saying you're using more calories for whatever you're doing. When you combine the two, you actually are going to supercharge fat loss, right?
Yeah, that's at least in theory what we think we're doing, and there's some pretty good research actually to support that. So, getting the body to burn fat again gets into when we start depriving the body of leucine, we see fat loss goes up, which just kind of makes sense. I mean, think about that. Like, so what do you need leucine for? You need leucine to grow, right?
Right.
So when you're starving, there's no leucine around, and you tend to burn more fat. But it does bring up very similar to when we were at Quest talking about things like methionine depletion to extend lifespan. It looks like just the deprivation of a single amino acid in a diet. So you don't actually have to starve. You can just take leucine levels down to kick fat loss up and kicks up resting metabolic rate.
So what are some low leucine proteins?
Plant proteins?
UGG, you know, unfortunately. Yeah. Mostly the plant protein, yeah.
No, but I mean, look. So theoretically, if you're eating right, what I call eating right, you're not avoiding vegetables. You're eating lots of vegetables. They have plant protein in them, and you're getting animal protein. And so maybe what you do is you selectively do cycles of periods of time where you want to dig deeper into fat. And what you would do in those cases is probably eat higher plant proteins, less animal proteins, combined with intermittent fasting. You're going to dig deeper into your fat stores then.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what, just personally I've been doing. I have a book coming out where we talk about some things like that. But yeah, you're right on the money, Carl. As usual, you're right on the money.
Well, it's easy to connect the dots when somebody explains it to you. So, okay, so let's talk about...
You're a right on the money kind of guy. But yeah, it seems to be this thing of like... You know, we've got people doing what they call intermittent fasting, and in that environment, what you want to do is we want to be getting lower methionine, lower leucine in the diet, and then there's some benefits of those things. So we can still actually eat. We can cycle our proteins around that so that we have more types of plant proteins, things that are increasing fat oxidation, and then bring that back into a cycle where you're having more animal protein, putting stuff back on, which matches a feasting and fasting cycle. I mean, the body knows what to do with that very well.
Are there any real supplements? I mean, I get caffeine. It raises your heart rate. It raises some resting metabolic factors, but perhaps not all. But are there any real supplements that either induce or can actually nudge uncoupling up a little bit? I mean, we know about DNP and we know about thyroid hormone because that's exactly what they do. But are there supplements that have an uncoupling effect on mitochondria?
Yeah, there's some promising stuff out there. Let me kind of cover some of the newer stuff, which isn't generally known. So a really promising substance is called epilactose.
How do you spell that?
It's EPI, EPA, and then lactose.
Okay.
So it's what's called an epimer. It's a polymer. It's a derivative of lactose. It's a disaccharide. And it's in milk that's been heated up in very small amounts. But we've basically figured out how to make the stuff now. And so supplementing with epilactose now, there's some evidence bubbling up that it actually does all the above. It actually increases the uncoupling proteins. So it actually looks like it increases thermogenesis. And it does a lot of other things that seem very promising. It's a pretty powerful prebiotic, and there's a whole host of other things that it seems to target. But it's fairly promising in terms of perhaps this is something that either alone or in combination with long-chain fatty acids and maybe even sort of a fasting profile could really supercharge this stuff.
Mm, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
Another one. Go ahead.
No, I just said, what else? You were going to do that anyway. Go ahead.
Oh, another one is a very special kind of fat. And this is called oleophenylamine. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's oleophenylamine.
Does that mean it comes from olive oil?
No, not particularly, but it's a type of fat. And it seems to target the uncoupling proteins. It's a long chain fat, but this very specifically seems to go after uncoupling protein 1, which is what we find in brown fat. And so this is also something that seems to be a supplement that's something you could take, and it's just a fat, so it's not that esoteric. But you haven't heard a lot about it yet, but probably in the next couple of years you will. And it seems to be just another supplement you can take that actually stimulates uncoupling.
And so do these also produce elevated heat? Do you sweat more on these? Because obviously I would expect to feel a sense of warmth because you're actually producing more energy per unit of work. So would you see that using these two, the epilactose and the oleic salamine or whatever it is?
Yeah, I'd say in theory. I mean, so the whole idea with these types of things is, that, again, when you're talking uncoupling proteins and we're talking thermogenesis, we're talking making more heat, then we're always talking about fat. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about uncoupling and brown fat.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about when we're talking about stuff. And so always, we associate heat with that, and that's kind of the gist of these types of things.
Okay. Okay.
But then we got to differentiate that between uncoupling in fat and uncoupling in muscle. Uncoupling in muscle is a completely different animal. So uncoupling in the muscle is not associated with thermogenesis, but it is associated with increasing resting metabolic rate.
Is that affected by low leucine intake on uncoupling in muscle?
Yes, it makes sense.
It makes sense. So
yeah, and that's kind of the. So if we want to look at an overall body strategy, where we can get kind of the best of both. So you've got intermittent fasting when the body's deprived of food, but then you have periods around that where maybe you are eating, but a simple strategy to continue the benefits of increased fat oxidation that you saw during intermittent fasting is just pulling leucine levels down a bit.
We just got a message on Facebook from Tim Bruce, and I'm going to throw it in here, and then we're going to take a break and come back and talk more about the other lineup that you have.
Sure.
He says, what about the MCT oil in coffee with omega-3s, a la bulletproof coffee during a fasted state? No one talks about adding omega-3s, by the way, and I did a show where we showed that while omega-3s don't contribute to butyrate directly, they do contribute to the increased butyrate production because they feed certain microbes in the gut that are responsible for producing butyrate, but omega-3s are completely ignored by the keto community. What do you think about that, MCT oil, coffee, and omega-3s?
So when you look at the nature of what we're talking about here, and again, all this stuff gets down to really like moving stuff back and forth across the inner mitochondrial membrane and the combination of coupling oxygen with making ATP within the mitochondria. And so when you look at like, well, what really supercharges that? The short chain fatty acids don't have the same horsepower that the long chain fatty acids do. Because the carbon chains are long, the oxygen can cycle down the chain much longer. Mm-hmm. And so there's an inherent power in the long chain fatty acids when it comes to uncoupling that is not found in the medium chain or the short chain. And so, again, you're right on the money, Carl.
No, Tim Bruce's. But I happen to know that people in the keto community completely ignore omega-3s because they say, well, they don't contribute to butyrate production. And that's true. Omega-3s cannot become butyrate the way saturated fats can. But what they fail to realize is the machinery in the gut that produces butyrate. Actually, it's two different microbes in the gut. One does something, it passes off to the other. The other one poops out the butyrate. Those are actually increased in proliferation through omega-3s. So while you may be ignoring, but while you are focusing on the end product, you're ignoring the manufacturing process by ignoring omega-3 fatty acids. Would you say that's a true statement?
Yeah, and I would also maybe add on to that. And this is one of the things that we do in the Veep system and in my Transcend system, is we really focus on butyrate production. And one of the barriers you're going to get into is that your best sources to really drive that are carbs. So it's carbohydrates. It's things things like beans, things like potatoes, things like that. Those are the things that are fruits. Those are the things that are going to really drive butyrate production as a result of spinning up substrate for very specific bacteria like bifidobacteria, the butyrate producers, mm-hmm. Bananas, things like that. Those are your heavy lifters when it comes to the production of butyrate. And so when you get into a mindset that a lot of keto people have, well, we got to stay away from carbs, then you're limiting the horsepower available to you to get the body to make butyrate.
Well, you know, what you just said may actually save a lot of people wasted time, because there are so many people out there who say, I've been keto for 6 months and I can't lose any weight. And they may not be producing the butyrate that they think they're producing because they're avoiding these I want to say they're called, but they're a certain type of fiber, right? They're monosaccharide. What are they called? The types of fibers that you're talking about that actually help to produce butyrate as well.
Well, there's several. So it gets down to substrate. It gets down to, at the end of the day, the way we make butyrate is we make bacteria that make butyrate. And so we have to look at, like, what are the foods that those bacteria eat? What's the substrate? And so there's kind of a short list of things we want to look at. We want to look at phenols from fruits. We want to look at resistant starches from things like beans, things like that. We want to look at cellulose, wood. We want to look at things like, that are real heavy, raw, fibrous, green bean, kind of snappy, crunchy starches. That's our horsepower to make butyrate. And okay. So what you see with a lot of people that do long-term keto diets, they're accidentally, what they're doing is they're essentially starving the gut biome of the substrate it needs. And so what happens is a little known thing is that particularly bifidobacteria, they control fat metabolism through the production of very important proteins. These are called angiopoteins, and these proteins control fatty acid uptake. And so when you deprive the body of the substrate it needs to feed bifido and these very special bacteria, then what happens over time is you actually get an obesogenic gut biome profile. So, and there's good research to show that long-term keto diets actually, you wind up with an obesogenic gut profile. And that's why they can't lose weight, is because you're losing the bacteria that basically inhibit fat storage.
Okay, and now since you discussed this topic, when we come back, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the microbes that seem to harvest more nutrition out of foods, and why that may not be the best thing, because those are the ones that are associated with a greater degree of obesity. We're talking right now with Joel Green. He is brilliant when it comes to nutrition. Few people have the 60,000 foot view on nutrition that Joel has. And you can leverage his intelligence by going to his website, veep.com, veep.com. He makes it simple for you. You can assemble meal plans based on your goals. And in the end of the day, you will get that extra 10 to 15% muscle or body fat loss that you're not getting by ignoring this type of food combining. Check it out. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
coupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
A-T-R-A-N-T-I-L, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
Guess who's back? Age Force is back with a buy one, get one free introductory offer to the Superhuman Radio audience. Choose from any of their amazingly popular patches. Their HGH secretagogue patch, testosterone booster, fat burner, anti-inflammatory patch. All of them buy one, get one free. Nootropic memory enhancer, melatonin and GABA, resveratrol. The list goes on and on. No one, I repeat, no one has the most complete list of patch delivered supplements than Age Force. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the Age Force banner ad today and get buy one, get one free for the entire Superhuman Radio audience. Check it out. Don't wait.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Cana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Cana banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
I gotta tell you, Atrantil really works. I overindulged on fiber a couple days in a row. You can blame the new Quest cookie for that. I was eating them like they were real cookies. And I haven't been eating a lot of fiber lately. And I got to tell you, man, I had some real gut problems for a couple days. And I remembered Atrantil. And I took the Atrantil one day. And I'm telling you, this stuff is amazing. It got rid of the gassiness immediately that afternoon. And so if you are bloated easily from foods you're eating, Atrantil has a naturally occurring herb that was discovered and fed to cattle to keep them from farting. And it's now in a capsule for humans, and it will work for you as well. So you need to check it out. Go to superhumanradio.com. net and click the Atrantil banner ad today to learn more. We're talking right now with Joel Green, the proprietor of an amazing nutritional website, probably many of you have never heard of, and that's a sad state because it's the one you should be paying attention to. It's called Veep, V-E-E-P.com. So, Joel, we know that Bacteroidetes and Firmicutes, they tend to have different effects on the body, and when one outnumbers the other, we see obesity. When one outnumbers the other, we see leanness. The one that's associated with obesity is a much more efficient microbe at harvesting nutrition from food, right?
Well, yeah, so that gets into what's called energy harvest. It's really a third phyla that does the heavy lifting, and that third phyla is called the actinobacteria, and that is the home of the bifidobacteria, which is I use this analogy in my book that's coming up of the Legion of Doom and the Justice League. So most people have a Legion of Doom in their gut. They have like a very few bacteria. There's like just basically wrecking the ship. And there's a very few bacteria that are that essentially confer superhuman status, and they do a lot of things. That's Acromantia, Mucinilfa, that's Bifidobacteria, a couple others. And so these bacteria, the really cool thing about it is that they are switchable. We can actually control them just by giving them the right substrate. And some interesting things happen when we give them the right substrate. One is that energy metabolism goes through the roof. And so in our discussion of, well, how do you increase what we call metabolism? How do you get more energy? The bacteria in our gut have a lot to do with that. For example, the bifidobacteria are B vitamin producers. They're really good at that stuff. And I do these 2-day seminars. And in that, we just prove it to people. We go, hey, here's this on day one. Just start eating this. And by the end of the day, you're going to be jacked. Your energy is going to be through the roof. And it's very easy to prove. So that gets to the concept called energy harvest. And the bacteria in our gut, they actually, it's not so much the calories you take in, it's the calories you're actually extracting from food.
Right.
And that's something that the idea that we can play with that. We can just through feeding substrate to these bacteria, we can spin them up. Is a very interesting thing, and it's very doable. Anybody that wants to can experiment with it and really see it happen. In fact, my first experiment with this was in 2007. There was a landmark study published by Dr. Jeffrey Gordon. It was the first study linking obesity with the gut bacteria, and I did an article on that on my site, lookcut.com. And to my knowledge, I think it was probably one of the first, maybe the first articles that actually was based on Dr. Gordon's research to the health and fitness community. And I just did an experiment on my own. I did very, very specific fibers for about 7 days. And body fat went, I was 229 when I started. I was 212 when I finished. I went and got weighed in water, and I was like 6.7%. And running the math in 7 days of how many calories I burned, I was like, well, that's just not possible. That should be impossible, mathematically speaking. But what I believe was I just altered energy harvest through radically altering the gut. And around the office here, we have a funny word for it. We call it the equestrian bowel movement. It's like a poor man's eubiome test. When your poop turns green, you know you did something.
Yeah, that's funny. That is funny. A patina, a patinaed poop. Let's talk more about supplements for a minute. Are there any other supplements that we should be paying attention to that can nudge us a little bit, give us that extra 1% or 2% body fat loss? Because you got to be working. You know, I don't want anybody to listen to this show and think if you do these 10 things or these 12 things without the hard work and conscious effort to eat good, healthy foods, you're not going to lose body fat. But the idea of this is, give you that extra percentage of body fat loss and for all of your hard efforts. Are there any other supplements out there that we should be looking at?
Yeah, actually, so it was funny. When you called me about this conversation, I think a sponsor on your show had a product, and we were just kind of talking, and I pulled the label up, and they had some pyruvate and some carnitines in there.
Trojan Horse. Their ad actually ran a second ago, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's actually a very good product. So years ago there was a pyruvate product that had carnitine and pyruvate in it that I used to use prior to cardio. And the trick is the dosing. You got to have a bunch of the stuff in there. But man, when it's in there, holy cow! watch what happens during your cardio. I mean, you get hot. So, the carnitines, and I know this is kind of a maligned school of thought, but like if you actually work through what the body needs to push fat into the mitochondria, you know, you need carnitine to do that. And then in conjunction with pyruvate, it's actually very effective at specifically like what we would call increasing metabolic rate, metabolic function. So I would say, yeah, that's a legit supplement.
Cool. I'm going to tell PJ Braun that you said that about that. So that's fantastic to know.
Yeah.
So if you were going to start to assemble things, if you were going to tell people, here's the things that you should start doing. Eat more brown mustard and wasabi in your diet. That sounds like a good one. Obviously, the supplements that you mentioned, are they even on the market yet? I know Trojan Horse is, but the other one, the Oleo one, and what was the other one that you mentioned before? Are they even on the market at this point in time?
Epilactose.
Yeah, Epilactose.
I don't believe they are yet. You can get them if you're savvy, which I the reason I brought them up is your audience is always looking for kind of what's new before it's new. And so those are things that are obtainable. You can get those things and be the first kid in your block to play with those things.
Yeah.
But as an overall strategy, so one of the things that we do in the Veep system is we take layers of things that are all functional and then we stack them. So let's start with the basic idea that protein is highly functional, and dense protein, slow digesting protein, is extremely functional for helping to boost metabolism. And like an easy way to prove this to yourself that I've done this is just have, you know, like a dozen egg whites at bedtime and go to sleep. If you wake up, you just tend to be warmer. It's because all that protein is just playing out through the night. But when you look at like sort of proteins as your foundational layer for boosting metabolism, and then you just start stacking things on top of that, it's actually very easy to create a sort of functional eating that is extremely effective at increasing metabolic rate. And a simple way to do that would be, like, if you wanted to start with an omelet at breakfast, and then on top of that, you add all of the, like, the isothionate things. So you're adding things like onions and things like that into the mix. And then you're adding on top of that things that are thermogenic in nature, things like hot sauce and things like that. And then on top of that, you're adding things like cheese, which dairy gets kind of a bad rap, but dairy does a lot of things really good for fat loss. And so just by literally stacking functional components, you can, it's like a recipe. You get, in a recipe, you have ingredients, you have sequence, and you have timing. And when you make all three work together, you get something really great. But you can have the right ingredients and not the right sequence, and you don't get the same outcome. But just by looking at the basic elements of different classes of things, there are certain things that are thermogenic in nature. The easy example is cayenne or capsaicin. That's just thermogenic in nature. Protein's thermogenic in nature. The isothionates, they are brown fat uncouplers. And then you look at things like onions, and you just begin to start stacking all these things up together in a single meal. And it's really, really powerful. Have a storyline.
Go ahead. Now tell yours. I was going to ask you why onions, but tell your story first.
Oh, sure. Just to give you an example, we had a storyline a couple of years ago on the Dr. Phil show. We've actually had quite a few storylines on the show. But just to make it fast, we had a woman who went on the show. She was on 22 meds all at once. And she was given 5 years to live by her doctor. And so she goes on the show. They put her on my program. And she hurts her leg in the very first week. And she can't work out. So she's 322 pounds, 22 meds. She goes on the show. And then at the 90-day mark, they bring her in for a blood test, and she's under doctor's supervision. Blood comes back. It's normal. So the doctor's like, well, that's not right. Let's send her to a specialist. So they send her to a specialist. Blood comes back again, and it's normal. So they took her off all 22 meds at the 90-day mark. And the point of that story is there's no drug in existence that could do that. That's 100% the power of food when it's used functionally. And so there's tremendous power inherent in food when you begin to really utilize it and stack it in the way that we're talking about. So that's that kind of story.
That's actually pretty fascinating and pretty amazing. What's it cost to a membership on Veep right now?
Oh, it's fairly affordable. It's $97 one-time cost. You can get in there. Our price is actually going up here substantially here in February. So anybody interested, I would say jump on it. And it's our entry level product, but bang for the buck, it is really awesome. And a lot of people don't know this, but the world's largest anecdotal body of body composition outcomes by targeting the gut bacteria is Veep. There's over 16,000 people that have done it since 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, it was the world's first commercially available diet program that was based on targeting the gut bacteria. And so what you find when you're in the system is it's like this massive education, because you're just, every time you eat, you're learning something about how to use foods functionally. We liken it to like jiu-jitsu. It's kind of like you're learning the counter move for every scenario. And it's really funny. I get these calls all the time. We did an engagement in Chicago with the YMCA, and there was a lady there who, her and her daughter went through it, and they'd never been able to get their body fat under control, and just overnight they did it. And we were talking, and she was like, yeah, it's really amazing. We go out now, we eat anything we want anytime, and we just offset it. And no one believes us. I'm like, yeah, I get that a lot. But it's the power to, it's basically the power to take control of your body through the power of food.
Yeah, I know. It's you know, I think even I still underestimate the power of food, to be honest with you. And I think I probably understand it and have a sense of it more than the average person. But you're right. It is amazing. Any other foods, any other magic foods? I mean, I love the idea of wasabi and cayenne pepper. I love the idea of brown mustard. I eat a lot of brown mustard.
Yeah. Let's have a laugh here. So our unsung hero in all this is alcohol.
Yeah, but I don't drink anymore. I gave it up.
So studies with heavy drinkers have shown that when you take out carbs, you substitute alcohol, they get lean. And it's really just that alcohol increases metabolism. So alcohol is a poison that gets converted. The body has to convert it out, make it into acetate, and get rid of it. And so in the process of doing that, it actually increases metabolic rate. If you've ever woken up in the middle of the night with the shakes, anybody that's ever done that knows that. So one of the kind of fun things that we do in the Veep system is we actually teach people how to offset the negative effects of alcohol. It just happens, so you have to learn how to do it. And it's really simple. You combine alcohol with very dense protein, and so protein boosts metabolism, alcohol boosts metabolism, and then you have to offset all the negative effects of alcohol.
So I want to ask about the offsetting part. Do you need a lot of alcohol? Is a glass of wine with a steak adequate?
No, actually, that's perfect. So a couple tricks there. Number one is you don't want an American wine. You don't want a wine that's loaded with sugar and colorings and all that stuff. You want a really good organic wine that's low in alcohol and low in sugar.
Right.
So that's the first trick.
And they tend to be, just for the record, they tend to be dry wines. If people need to understand that, low sugar wines are always very dry. So
yeah, very dry. And they're actually highly functional when you get, because they're very low in alcohol. They could be sold as a no sugar drink. If you look, there's less than a gram of sugar in those things. So that combined with like a really good steak, is actually very functional. The only thing that you've got to do is you've got to offset, a couple of things. You've got a loss in glutathione that you've got to offset. That's easy to do. You can do that with milk thistle. You can do that with glutathione. You've got, B and C vitamin depletion. That's easy to offset. And then you've got inflammation that happens from alcohol, so you've got to offset that, and that's not too difficult to do. There's a lot of ways to do that. And so those are kind of the hacks to, and I'm not an advocate of alcohol consumption. I'm just saying it happens, and if it does happen, you might as well make it help you burn fat instead of store fat.
You know, I kind of put alcohol and DNP in the same category, if that's the case, because alcohol is a neurotoxin, and if you, and obviously, what role does acetate play in alcohol's functional food melody? Because I use, when I do drink, I take 4 to 5 grams of acetyl L-carnitine to reduce acetate. It actually reduces hangover the next day, and it actually allows you to drink a lot more too. But am I then blunting the desired effects on body fat?
Well, again, it depends. So here's the deal. The main trick is this. Alcohol gets converted into acetaldehyde, and the body has to convert that out into acetate, one of the short-chain fatty acids. And so while the body is dealing with a poisonous form of alcohol, that gets priority. So poisons always get priority. So if there is any kind of carbohydrate or fat present, then that tends to get stored. So it's really about understanding substrate preference for the body. When you're poisoning the body has to get rid of that poison. And so if you ate a bunch of pasta with that, you're going to promote weight gain. But if instead you take the heavy drinker model and you just substitute your carbs with alcohol, and then you include dense proteins, and then all the things that we're talking about here, the carnitines and all that, to offset the negative effects of alcohol, then the desired outcome of increasing metabolism, you gain that while mitigating the effects.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Okay, what else besides alcohol?
Let me see. So what are we talking about? We're talking about getting metabolism up here, right?
Yeah.
So I think you covered the T2s, the T3s. Those are sort of...
Yeah, thyroid hormone. Thyroid hormone is a magnificent mitochondrial uncoupler in fat and in muscle. You know, people talk about if you take too much thyroid hormone, you start to burn muscle. You start to lose muscle. If you and thyroid hormone elevation will make you short of breath just from walking because of the uncoupling effect. You know, so really getting your thyroid in shape or even supplementing if you're older like me. I mean, I take one grain. It's 65 milligrams of Armour Thyroid and Nature Throid when I can get Nature Throid, but they always run out, a day. That's not enough to make my thyroid stop working, but it's just enough to fill in the gaps for what my thyroid is not doing any longer at my soon-to-be 60 years old. And I'm sure that I wouldn't stay as lean as I do if it wasn't for that. So, yeah, thyroid hormone is very important.
It's kind of a go-to thing. One thing that you brought up, I think, Carl, that would be an interesting thing to do another show on some other time. You were talking about all the you were taking a bunch of fiber and all the gas and all that stuff.
Yeah.
There's a concept that I'm introducing in my upcoming book called Carb Training. And there's some very interesting research on all this gets under the umbrella of carbohydrate metabolism, and just understanding that human beings in general just aren't built to digest carbs. Those are things that we use partners to do. We use bacteria and we use phenols in the diet to do a lot of the heavy lifting with carbs. And so our old school way of thinking is sort of the lactose intolerance, lactase persistence theory, you know, that, well, you don't have the gene for that, and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, a much more updated way of looking at it is the notion that, well, the human operating system is a merger of three different genomes. It's the merger of the bacterial genome, the mitochondrial genome, and your human genome. And one of the things we can do is we can actually train into the body digestion of carbohydrates. And it actually makes a lot of sense. It's basically it's hormesis in action, but there's some good research on people training lactose intolerance out of the body just by small doses of lactose over time. And we've seen it happen quite a bit in the VEEP system, where we get people in the system and we get them on fibers. And, you know, at first they have like the gassy issues and all that stuff, but the more they do it, they spin the bacteria up to digest those fibers and those things go away. And so it inverts on its head the whole school of thought of gluten intolerance, wheat intolerance and all that stuff. And it really, you know, takes it out of the venue of, well, the problem is the foods. And it's like, no, it's not the foods. The problem is you don't have the bacteria to digest the foods.
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
That would be an interesting one to get into, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go ahead and take another quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap this up. I think we've covered really I know I said 10, and we've probably done more than 10 things. But I just want to make sure that we circle around and we cover everything that we're supposed to cover. The website is called VEEP.com. You can have this information on tap whenever you want it. Check it out. We'll be right back. Follow my my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained fasted and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without. 74% of Americans are living with digestive issues. They take pills and potions to mask the symptoms but never address the root cause. Introducing GI Ultramax Pro, a complex of scientifically substantiated all-star ingredients that reestablish your gut's operating system, allowing you to be better shielded against the bad actors in your food and environment. The gut is complicated, and it takes GI Ultramax Pro to deliver real long-lasting results. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the GI Ultramax Pro banner ad or visit MotherEarthLabs.com and use code SHR for free shipping. Guess who's back? Age Force is back with a buy one, get one free introductory offer to the Superhuman Radio audience. Choose from any of their amazingly popular patches. Their HGH Secretagogue patch, Testosterone Booster, Fat Burner, Anti-Inflammatory patch, all of them buy one, get one free. Nootropic Memory Enhancer, Melatonin and GABA, Resveratrol, the list goes on and on. No one, I repeat, no one has the most complete list of patch-delivered supplements than Age Force. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the Age Force banner ad today and get buy one, get one free for the entire Superhuman Radio audience. Check it out. Don't wait.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality pastured meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. How'd that fall in there? We're talking with Joel Green, proprietor of Veep, V-E-E-P.com, the genius behind the website. I don't know many people who understand nutrition the way Joel does and the way he assembles everything. It would do you real good to check out the website and learn more about the things that he offers. Have we missed anything in the discussion for accelerating fat loss for people?
Yeah, so... So this is kind of next level stuff that I'll leave the audience with. But so we talked about the power of food, and we talked about the example from the Dr. Phil show, the lady who just, you could never do what she did with a drug. It was all the power of food. And I've seen this thousands of times played out, that when executed in the right recipe, food is more powerful than anything. And so this is kind of taking things to the next level. So that the idea of like getting meaningful increases in metabolic activity through food. So we've got a lot of people in the audience that are into intermittent fasting and keto diets and all that kind of stuff. But when we really look at like the exchange of signal pathways that have to happen to get the maximum sort of results out of things like that, all the potentiators, all the substrates for that we find in the world of carbs. And so if we look at something like, let's take grapefruit, for example. Grapefruit has a compound called nucatone in it, which is a natural AMPK activator, which is something we want to go after in an intermittent fast. And if you look at something like that the day before a fast, and then you combine strategies, so at the same time, you're spinning up production of butyrate producers, which also potentiates AMPK, which also mimics the effects of exercise. Now we're into legitimate functional nutritive outcomes that are doing all the above. They're increasing metabolic activity. They're increasing signal pathways. They're increasing signal amplification, all the benefits that we want to get that increase metabolic activity, fat oxidation, all of the youth promoting aspects. And it's all the way we're timing, sequencing, and using very specific food substrates.
So let me get this straight. Eat grapefruit the day before fasting.
Yes, and this gets into a combination of things, but yes, grapefruit with what I would call befitogenic foods. So a good example, simplest example would be chili, for example. So you could have like grapefruit for breakfast, chili for lunch, and what you're doing is and at first this kind of sounds like just, you know, nutrition sophistry, like some of the BS you see on TV, but if you actually break down the signal substrates that we're giving the body the substrate it needs to make the bacteria that make butyrate, that make that signal activation of the signal pathways during fasting. We're just potentiating it the day before. Now we're on to something that's next level here. And this is something that we've been doing actually for a number of years here, and it's just amazingly powerful. I mean, you can work out less, you get similar results, and it's all based on sequencing and timing of very specific foods and substrates in combination to amplify key signals.
So, this is so fascinating to me. The grapefruit itself contains a lot of magical things. We've always heard about eating grapefruit when you're trying to lose weight. So there really may be some valid. I always thought it was an old wives' tale, but there is some validity to that, it sounds like. But obviously, either being in a hypocaloric state or a fasted state plays a role. Am I understanding that right?
Well, again, it's the idea of the recipe, the idea of the ingredients, so the proper ingredients, the proper sequence, the proper timing, all these things matter. But you know that there's validity to it just because there's drug warnings.
Yeah, I know. Naringin, as well as D-limonene, are both present in grapefruit in high amounts, and both of those affect the clearing of drugs through the liver. So you can actually end up with double and triple your dose just by taking your normal medication and drinking grapefruit juice or eating a grapefruit. I prefer eating grapefruit. I no longer take fish oil, by the way, and I've talked about this on the show last year. I have never, ever eaten a piece of salmon and gotten the burps from it. I have never, ever eaten a piece of salmon where they had to flavor it with mint or lemon so that when I burp, it has a lemony or minty flavor instead of a fishy flavor. So I have come to the conclusion that fish oil supplements, by and large, are really a waste of time. And I resort to eating salmon at least 4 times a week. And I eat a big old piece of salmon. I eat, as a rule, 14 to 16 ounces of salmon at a sitting. And a lot of times it's raw. I get it flash frozen from Alaska through U.S. Wellness Meats. I used to get it from Vital Choice. They're another good source. I'm not banging them, but right now U.S. Wellness Meats is still sponsoring, and I get it from them. But what I find, people are going to be like, yeah, but dude, that's so expensive. Yes, you are right. And I talked about this a long time ago on the show. The greatest value you can get is canned wild sockeye salmon for like $3 to $4 for 14 ounces. And just like flash frozen salmon all of that salmon is cleaned and prepped on the boat and immediately cooked in the can. So the idea of parasites and all that sort of stuff, it's not even in the mix. And what my favorite thing, my last meal of the day, and right now it's probably getting closer to 5 days a week, is a can of salmon on a bed of salad with Papa Vince olive oil and lemon. And now I'm going to add wasabi to it, to be honest with you, and lemon juice. And I could eat that for every single meal. I am convinced, because I've never, ever, and by the way, I estimate that there's 35 grams of fat in that can of salmon. And I would estimate that the majority of it is omega-3s. So I'm getting a bolus of omega-3s in one shot, and I don't burp up fish taste. So there's something going on with – Adele Musa says to me it's because there's impurities in fish oil supplements, any fish oil supplement, all fish oil supplements, because the way they render it, they extract it, they purify it, they dance on it, they touch it, they do these things to it, and then you take it and it makes you burp. I've never ever burped from a piece of salmon. Have you?
Never. And, I would agree with you. I've read Adele's stuff on the fat oxidation in fish oil supplements, and then I've read some other studies as well. I've read some other stuff that has tested quite a few commercial brands and has seen that it's fairly not oxidized, and they do things like throwing vitamin C in with it. And it could be the burping is just the concentration of just stuff going to the liver. But I'm a skeptic as well, and I agree with your strategy. I think everybody should do that. Everybody should have salmon 3-4 nights a week. It gets into the boy. I know Ron would have a field day with that. Our buddy from Quest.
Why? What would he say? What would Ron say about that?
Ron and I have had this running debate for a long time now about omega-3s versus omega-6s, and that the counterintuitive contrarian is that it's the omega-6s that are really ameliorative for inflammation, and he's pro omega-6, I'm pro omega-3, and I actually did a video on this for Purple Wellness Engagement.
But why do you have to choose a camp? Why can't they both be important? You know, Alex Leaf did a great blog post on this website when he worked for Superhuman Radio about the effectiveness of eating large amounts of salmon as opposed to taking 2 or 3 grams of fish oil a day, eating large amounts of salmon 2 or 3 days a week, and actually because I'm going to come back around and talk about why not both. I'm so tired of people going, it's this way. No, it's that way. It's both ways. That's the way we were built. But here's the interesting thing about fish oil. There is something that I've learned over the past 20 years that I like to call the effects of scarcity and abundance. This is true of everything from growth hormone treatment for children with short stature, all the way up to supplementing. Okay? When the body gets a regular amount of something day in and day out, it becomes wasteful in how it handles it because it assumes there's more coming. Okay? So when you take fish oil supplements every single day, 3 grams of fish oil supplements, less of it is stored in the fat cell, more of it is used as energy, and that's not what you want. When you eat a big hunk of salmon, more of that is stored in the fat cells and less of it is used for energy. And it's because when the body sees irregularity, oh, we better hold on to it because we don't know when we're going to get it again, as opposed to day in and day out. They found the same results treating children with short stature. They gave two groups 35 IUs of growth hormone a week. One group, they gave it to them in two shots, and they just did it randomly on different days. The other one, they did it the traditional way, the way they gave them a certain amount of growth hormone every single day of the week. And for the same amount of growth hormone, the children who got the erratic dosing grew faster and more. And that's when it started to make sense to me. The body handles scarcity and abundance very differently, much the way a spoiled child handles their allowance money. Okay. If you give the body something day in and day out, it goes, I can do whatever I want with this because we're going to get more tomorrow. But when you give it a bolus, 35 grams of fish oil, bang, on Wednesday, then maybe again on Thursday, maybe again on Sunday, as opposed to taking 4 grams of fish oil a day, magic happens. And that's why I'm a big proponent of eating big hunks of fish a few times a week.
You know, can I rant on that for a second?
Please, please.
This gets into a rant. So, and I've read Alex's stuff. We even had a little bit of back and forth on that. This is something I've drilled through the chemistry and signal pathways on just because I wanted to shut Ron up so bad. sorry, Ron, if you're listening. Here's the deal. The omega-6s are involved in the process of suppressing inflammation to a very large degree. So are the omega-3s. But the critical modulating factor, there's a couple things that this whole argument really comes down to. And it's on the omega-3 side of the equation. When you look at the signal pathway for the onset of inflammation, there's a thing called the lipoxygenase pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these signal mediators. These are proteins, things called resolvins, protectins, all these different signal mediators at the onset of inflammation. So you're sort of like your critical initiators. They're on the omega-3 side, and so what you see is that when you are in the process of inflammation being onset. It has to do with density of signal carriers on both sides of the equation. So both sides have different signal mediators. But at the end of the day, the one that is a little bit more important are on the three side of the equation. So all that gets to what we see in society nowadays, and this just gets to what you're doing and why what you're doing is actually extremely effective, is it gets to sheer ratios and yields. So the average person is getting probably 40 grams of omega-6s in per day, and they don't even realize it. Maybe more, maybe 100 grams, who knows? And they're getting maybe 5 grams of, like, really good omega-3s in. And so the signal mediators, the signal flux on the omega-6 side of the equation is so imbalanced for the lipoxygenase pathway on the omega-3 side of the equation that most people are running around in a chronic inflammatory state. And so when you look at the downstream signal mediators from the omega-3s, they're called the eicosanoids and all of these things, then we get to, like, well, what's really driving inflammation at the end of the day? And it's really simple. It's on the omega-6 side, we have a signal molecule called interleukin-6. And on the omega-3 side, you have EPA. And it's the ratio of EPA to interleukin-6. Now, you can have actually more intake of omega-6, less of omega-3, and as long as those signal mediators are in balance, you're not going to be inflamed. But for most people, they are so out of whack that it's essential to do what you're doing. You need this massive influx, like we're talking 20, 30 grams of omega-3s a couple times a week to balance the equation.
And I am of the camp that they're all important. I think omega-3s are important. I think omega-6s are important. I think omega-9s are important. I think they're all important. They wouldn't be in our diet. Now, granted, modern diets, because of processed foods, have removed a lot of omega-3s because omega-3s tend to go rancid. They're not as shelf-stable. And so by removing omega-3s from foods, they make them more shelf-stable. Well, that's an easy thing to fix by just eating more salmon, eating salmon a few times a week, and you've solved the problem. But, you know, I did a show a couple months ago. So I started experimenting with pre-workouts, nutrition. And what I found I got the best results from, time and time again, was when I used a designer carbohydrate called Carbolin, a scoop of Thrive protein powder, and a scoop of Ketogenics Prime ketone powder in a shake and drank it before my workout, half hour before my workout, and I was the strongest and was able to train the longest with that combination. Now, the people in the keto group would say, well, no, you can't use ketones and carbs together. Why not? Well, you just can't. Well, wait a minute. Do they currently coexist in the human body? Well, yeah, glucose and ketones can coexist in the human body. So why can't I give my body both of these, all the substrates, amino acids, free fatty acids, ketones, and carbohydrates in a shake, because let's be honest, none of us really know what tissue preferences are, right? When you say, oh, the brain prefers ketones, maybe it does. Well, maybe the brain prefers ketones at the same time the heart shifts back and forth between ketones and carbohydrates, kind of like a hybrid car shifts, depending on the demand, from gas to battery. Why would I want to restrict? Why would I want to make that choice for the tissue? Why would I want to dictate to the tissue, no, you have to run on this because I'm in this camp? Why wouldn't I want to give the tissue, all the tissue, muscle tissue, heart tissue, brain tissue, kidney? Why wouldn't I want to give them all the substrate to say, hey, you guys choose what you want on demand? And that makes the perfect sense to me. So when I was using, I'm not training with a pre-workout right now, a drink, a meal at all, because I've gone back to training fasted. I tend to like to train fasted. But when I was using a pre-workout supplement, I discovered that combining protein, carbohydrates, and ketones, and this fat in the protein powder, all together gave me the greatest results. Your thoughts on that?
Man, that's fascinating. Okay, so I would first, you got me thinking about something while you were talking that I'm going to bring up. But my first reaction to what you were saying was, well, there's no historical analog. Like, ketones are a byproduct of starvation, so never in human history that the body had to deal with signal input of starvation at the same time with a bunch of food. That being said, what you got me thinking about was, you know, the body's really, when you look at like the software that runs the body in terms of substrate partitioning, the body is really good at delivering the right substrate to the right tissue at the right time, depending
right.
on what it needs.
Right.
And it's got multiple backup pathways to do this. And it also works in reverse. It works for fat oxidation as well. Body's got multiple redundant pathways to protect against anything you try to do to create fat loss. And so both energy utilization and fat mobilization, the body's got lots of pathways to deal with. I mean, it's got thousands of years of programming, and they're figuring out what to do. And so I think you brought up kind of an uninvestigated area that is, you know, we'll have to wait for the science to tell us what's really happening. But it may be that there's something at work here that is very tissue specific, and the body just knows what to do with it. My first thought when you said that is I don't see that, but I'll have to try that.
Think about something. So when you're fasted and you're producing ketones, and I'm not talking about therapeutic levels of ketones. I'm talking about maybe even sub 0.5 millimoles of ketones. You still have blood sugar, right? You still have blood sugar. You still have glucose in your body that's running around and supposedly doing something. It's got to be being used by some tissue. So it's undeniable that ketones and glucose occur in the human body at the same time in certain circumstances. And if that's the case, then that means that some tissue is using ketones and some tissue is using glucose. I mean, I don't know anything about science. I don't have any letters after my name, but I can guarantee you that the body if the body just needed ketones, it would drop out glucose completely. Your glucose would go to zero.
Well, here's an interesting historical analog, actually, I just thought of. And it's, we use this actually in this is done somewhat in deep, and it's really done in my transcend system. And basically, if you look at the historical analog, what do people do, what hunter-gatherers do when they're kind of at the food of last resort? Like, you haven't caught anything. Like, what's last resort? Last resort is you start digging up roots.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a starved state, you're taking in very dense fibers that have, you know, there's carbs in that. It's not dense with
right.
carbs, but you're still getting in fibers and carbs at the same time in a starved state. And that has a very, very specific effect on the body in a starved state. And just hypothesizing here, just guessing, I think that it's linked to peak power output. Mm-hmm. In a starved state. Because when you look at all the signal pathways, what happens in a starved state, the body starts doing some really interesting stuff. It starts building up levels of ATP. In other words, building up essentially what we
fuel.
Call sugar reserves
right.
by the cell, but it doesn't use them. So it fills them up, but it doesn't use them. And what it's doing is it's prepping you essentially for a last-ditch sprint.
Yeah, to run after that gazelle and try to catch it and kill it so you can eat it.
Right.
Exactly.
But that's in a starved state. So you see this sort of glucose-sparing effect where glucose levels are being restored, or not glucose, but ATP levels are being restored, but they're not being utilized. And that's really interesting in a starved state. So maybe there is a historical analog for what you're talking about. It's interesting what you bring up.
I just know that I was able to train the longest when I took all of them. And that's when I started to think to myself, why am I digging my heels in and picking a group? No, that. Let my body decide what it wants to use by what tissue at the moment that it wants to change. It may switch. It may switch back and forth to ketones for this. In electrical function, you have bumper capacitors. They store up juice, and then they allow it to come out very, very quickly to get an elevator moving. Getting an elevator moving takes 10 times more power than it does to keep it moving. So they use bumper capacitors. Well, maybe glucose is the bumper capacitor. Maybe when you first grab that bar and yank it, glucose is doing the job. But if ketones are available, the body's like, okay, we can coast on ketones right now. Let's save the glucose. Why would I want to restrict one substrate and say to the body, no, because I belong to the keto group, you've got to use ketones? No, I don't want to do that to my body. I want my body to use what it wants to use.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever noticed any symptoms of like the keto flu?
I've never gotten keto flu. Never. And I know people who tell me they got it. I don't know what it is. Do people get the keto flu from just, I don't know. I've never had keto flu. But then again, I probably have been metabolically flexible for a very, very long time and just not realized it because I didn't know what metabolic flexibility was all about.
I'm just curious because I have this working idea of my own that it has to do with sort of mixing substrates a long time, long place.
I actually asked Dominic D'Agostino that question. I said, do you think that keto flu is because, because I was thinking of like diabetics for a second. I was like, is it like ketoacidosis? You think it's like because they have high levels of ketones and glucose? And he told me that the levels of ketones would have to be like 24 millimoles and the level of glucose would have to be like something ridiculous. Like, I don't know, 350 or 400 milligrams a liter. It's got to be absurd levels, like where you're at the end stages of your diabetes to get that. And I said, do you think that is what happens to normal people when they get keto flu? They have, high levels of both. And he didn't think so. He said, no, I don't think that's it.
Well, that's interesting. What I would be curious about. So when you look at like per cell on a cell by cell basis, and you look at you looked at signal changing the train tracks from ATP to backup reserves, and you look at AMPK activation. You see these are kind of almost like black and white channels on a cellular basis. So you see that when ADP gets below a certain level and AMP ticks up beyond a certain ratio, then you get this sort of switch activation. And it's very much black and white within that particular cell, and so then you see all these sort of catabolic processes kicking in place, which have a lot of good benefits associated with them. But that would be a really interesting thing because particularly in the muscle tissue, it seems to be a little on the side of black and white in terms of once the AMK switch gets fired, then we see like this whole signal pathway kick into place and how muscles use energy and there's this whole glucose sparing effect that happens.
But it may be that muscles prefer that one substrate once they get working, but other tissue in the body that, we all know that fatigue starts in the brain and not in peripheral muscle.
Absolutely. I was just thinking the same thing. Yeah.
And so, maybe the muscle's like this, but the brain is like, hey, we could pick and choose. This portion of the brain is using ketones. That portion is using glucose. The naivete to think that the whole body and all of its tissue gets together in unison and goes, oh, ketones, we'll just run on that. Everybody? Okay. No, I mean, the body is so complex. It's like, there's tissue that's probably prefers glucose over ketones, and maybe that's where keto flu comes from. It's like that tissue is saying, no, we don't want to do this. So,
well, here's the other thing too. A lot of your workout results, your workout intensity, are actually driven by substrate available in your brain, your ability to focus, and
right.
And that's where a huge chunk of energy needs are coming from, and so it may just be that.
Yeah, I just think it's fascinating because it's like the old Reese peanut butter commercials. You remember them? The two trucks are going down the road. One's got chocolate, one's got peanut butter. They have an accident, and the two drivers are yelling at each other. And the one guy's holding his chocolate bar, and it's got peanut butter on it. The other guy's holding the handful of peanut butter's got chocolate in it, and they're about to fight. And then they taste it, and they go, "Wow, this is great!" And then all of a sudden, they like love each other, right? It's like. It's so silly. Like, why are we fighting about this, you know?
Yeah. You've got peanut butter in my chocolate.
Yeah.
Chocolate in my peanut butter.
Yes, you remember it. You do it perfectly. Yeah. That's it. That's it.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You've gotten ketones in my glucose. You've gotten glucose in my ketones.
Speaking of, whatever happened to those Quest Nutrition keto peanut butter cups? I would die to get my hands on those.
I have a few frozen, actually.
Do you really? Those are the best tasting peanut butter cup I've ever. I don't even know if we can talk about this. But yeah, Quest Nutrition was tinkering with stuff, and they made this peanut butter cup. It was a keto peanut butter cup.
Yeah, and the K cups. They called them K cups. Remember, they were K cups.
Beat everything. It was the best tasting peanut butter cup I've ever had in my life. It was amazing.
Yeah, you know what? It was such an exciting time when we hung out there. It was like this brain trust. And there was so much amazing stuff going on at Quest at that period of time. It's kind of like people who talk about Gold's Gym in the, you know, golden age of bodybuilding or Metrex at its peak of influencing sports nutrition. You know, in one conference room, you had people talking about curing cancer. In another conference room, you had people talking about new products. It was just... And we would go from one meeting to another, and brilliant people would contribute. And the end result was groundbreaking ideas. It was such an exciting thing to be part of, wasn't it?
It was amazing. I mean, it really, there was like a magic. And so for in your audience, people who are not aware, it's just, I guess, going back to late 2015, early 2016.
Yeah.
Quest CEO Ron Panna. He's a researcher, innovator, scientist at heart, and he had assembled this incredible team of smart people across a bunch of different fields, and we were working on a bunch of different so just the coolest things imaginable, things like how to mimic fasting with foods and cancer research and all this crazy stuff, and we would like you said, we'd go from room to room, and there'd just be you'd have
exhilaration.
Brilliant, yeah. Genius people around a table. Everybody's a genius in their own respect, and just that energy of it was. I'll be honest, I think it was the very frontier of applied nutritional thought. Of just all the minds around that table, and you had people that it was humbling. You know, you'd get around a table and you'd have your area of specialty, and then there'd be some dude who was the best in the world at this one aspect of things, and. It was just incredible. And I don't think that time will ever come again.
No, I feel the same way. I feel like it was a moment in time and it's gone now. And I just feel so fortunate to have been tapped on the shoulder and said, hey, we want you to participate in this. It was I remember the first time I was out there and I was so excited. I was going to be out there for a month, right? I'm going to be out there for a month. And I called Elisa that night after, and that's when I met you. We were like sitting and talking about this, and she said, how you doing? I said, Elisa, this is like camp for smart people. I said, this is so much fun. I said, she goes, well, what do you do all day? I go, we just sit around and we talk about ideas. And you see, Ron is brilliant.
Brilliant.
And he's also brilliant at selecting, he's very selective on what he focuses on. But Ron's attitude was, and he told me this, he said Bell Laboratories was the greatest innovative company of our time, because when they were innovative, they're not anymore, But when they were innovative, basically what they did was they took some of the most brilliant scientists in the world and they put them in a room and they said, make cool crap. Just make some cool crap. Make some, you know, they, remember, Bell developed cellular. They developed, I mean, they developed so many technologies in that small period of time that then spun out and became entire industries. And Ron envisioned Quest that way as a brain trust. Like, let's put all these cool people, let's put all these people together. Let's not give them any kind of direction. Let's not give them any kind of plan. Let's just see what happens. And amazing food products came out of it. And other industries that have spun off on the periphery as a result of some of those discussions. I mean, it's just amazing to me.
There were probably 50 different hundred different company potential spinoffs out of that. And just the most advanced stuff ever. And I don't know if I ever told you this, but I think it was at Quest, the first night that you and I connected, and you and I got off on this just, you know, we just spun right off the planet talking about stuff. And then Ron texted me that night, and he said, hey, did you hook up with Carl? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, wow, that guy is just a, you know, a genius. He's got it. And Ron paid you a really nice compliment. He just sent me one little text, and he said his intellect is superhuman.
Yeah. And you know what? It's his belief in me that actually made me first start thinking, well, maybe I do know some of this stuff. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I know that sounds real naive of me, but I've never thought of myself the way Ron thinks of me. And because he thought of me that way, all of a sudden, I had more faith and trust in the things I was thinking about. I know that that sounds weird. I mean, I'm going to be 60 years old, and I'm talking like I'm 16. But it's the truth. It was his belief in me that actually carried me through some of this stuff. So, yeah.
You know, you don't know this, but I have this book I'm writing right now that touches on a lot of the things that we're talking about, and you're actually in it, believe it or not.
Seriously?
Yeah. And in fact, I'll send you the chapter where you're in it. But it just references one of our convos back at Quest where you and I were sitting talking, and we were talking about about the time that Ron brought in the Vitamin D Genius guy, and Vitamin D kind of had a few weeks being, you know, this interesting topic at Quest. And then you and I got off on a sidebar conversation, and then we started talking about a bunch of other things that were related. And it was when that was when the idea really hit me that, wow, you know, these things sort of function as a whole. And anyway, yeah. So
I'm flattered. Look, we've crashed into the end of the interview. We've actually gone over a couple minutes, but that's okay. I'm sure that iHeartMedia won't care. No. We're all good. So the website is veep.com. You can harness the genius, the nutritional genius, of Joel Green. It's $99 for how long? A year?
$97. Right now it's $97 one time. We're going to be,
forever.
Right now, like until February. And
dude,
then it's going up.
If you're listening to this, grab onto that right away. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because I had a demo of the website, and it's so easy to put meal plans together. You literally drop food groups onto plates, and bam, it calculates everything for you. It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. I mean that. Joel, thanks for coming on today and talking. And you really did drop some pearls of wisdom here today on potential supplements and stuff. And I'm definitely going to be adding more wasabi to my diet. That's for sure.
Well, thanks for having me on.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, man.
All right. And that's it. And thank you to Dr. Jeff Galini. And thank you for listening. And we'll see you tomorrow with more Supreme Radio. Don't forget Military Fitness Radio tomorrow with Nate Morrison.